This is Colt Chinero Chat, the world's best English language Atletico Madrid podcast, and an official partner of IntoTheCalderon.com, SB Nation's Atletico Madrid site. I'm your host, Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat, making his standard weekly appearance after 2 weeks. His standard weekly appearance only in this instance, it has come after a two-week respite, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. We are back a little later than anticipated, but we are back nonetheless to discuss Atletico Madrid's 1-1 draw against Eibar on Saturday at the Wanda Metropolitano. Another disappointing league result for Atletico, who have started this season with just one win, a solitary win from their first four games. And yes, even though the result was pretty bad and might just eliminate any possibility Atletico had of competing for the league title this year, the performance was very encouraging. If not for in-form goalkeeper Marko Dimitrovic, Atletico would have won this game going away. Rob and I will talk about Rodri's outstanding performance in midfield, his controversial substitution, and 19-year-old Borja Garces scoring a dramatic equalizer in stoppage time. Those topics and much more from a pulsating draw in the capital. Plus, we'll preview Atletico's trip to Monaco, where they kick off the Champions League group stage on Tuesday. Before we jump into the podcast, though, make sure to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Chinero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts if you like what you hear. If you really like what you hear, you can become a Colt Chinero Chat amigo. Patreon.com/Colt Chinero Chat. From as little as $3 a month, you get access to our bonus pods. Weekly bonus pods featuring myself and or Rob Walker, the guest on this edition of the show. Our next one slated to be on Tuesday, when I will analyze Atletico's opening Champions League group stage game against Monaco. Just $3 a month. All the access you can handle. Patreon.com/Colt Chinero Chat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. Atletico Madrid 1, Eibar 1. So that's that then. That's La Liga gone for another year. Would you agree with that, Rob?
Yeah, I find it hard to say that it's over after four games, but it's extremely unlikely. Extremely.
We'll talk about how, okay, yeah, maybe Atletico were unlucky. Maybe this happened. If that happened, things would have been different, sure. Mm. But La Liga cares not for your lack of luck. La Liga cares not for, you know, if you have an off day. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really even out so much as it does in other leagues. Not when you have the ruthlessness of teams like Barcelona and Real Madrid. In order to compete properly for the league title, you have to get off to a fast start. You just have to. Atletico won their first 8 games in 2013-14, and that was a major reason why they ended up winning the title that year. They haven't had to start that fast since, and this is the worst one yet. Just one win from their first four, their worst start in a league campaign under Simeone. But despite all the doom and gloom, I was encouraged by this match, Rob. I saw some things I actually really liked.
Well, I think it's undeniably it was better than the Celta game, which felt a lot worse. But no, I agree with you. I think there were some positives to be taken for sure. And I mean, this becomes less of a problem if Atleti look solid in the Champions League and look like they're going to make some progress there. Then, you know, you can sort of write the league off to a certain degree. But that does require a better Champions League showing than last year.
Yes. Well, hard to get much worse than last year's Champions League.
Yeah, well, could finish fourth in the group.
That is true, yes. But you mentioned the deficit so far. It's already 7 points to Barca, who have won their first four, unsurprisingly. came back at Anoeta on Saturday, which apparently they're now good at Anoeta. Who knew? Think about it this way. Atletico finished 14 points behind Barca last season. They're already 7 points behind 4 weeks into the new season.
Yeah, exactly. Barcelona don't look like they're slipping up at all.
So that's what? They're on pace to finish 60 points behind Barca? If my math is right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll end up that great.
I don't think so either.
We're in trouble.
Real Madrid dropped points yesterday, but Atletico are still 5 points behind them. Barca already have daylight at the top of the table. You kind of see where this is going. So maybe we adjust our expectations a bit, and we do start to focus on the Champions League. Of course, we will discuss the Champions League as it returns on Tuesday. But I think against Eibar, Atletico played their best 90 minutes in a month. I really think this was a very good performance. Atletico, unfortunately for them, they ran into a really hot goalkeeper. Dimitrovic made about 5 or 6 just ridiculous saves. Like, I have the expected goals chart up right here. It finished 1-1, but Atletico had an expected goals for this game, 2.47. Eibar at 1-2-1.
Yeah, I mean, if you played this game, 10 times, Atletico would probably win the 7 out of 8. It's just that the players that got the chances for Atletico just could not take them. And, as you said, Dimitrovic was out of his mind. He was in a coma somewhere. He was making so many stops.
But, yeah, he was wild.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, the save on Godin from the corner, the save on Griezmann from that Juan Fran pass very early on. He made 2 really good saves on Godin, actually. Then Godin had another header just after halftime that Dimitrovic had to parry over. I mean, he just made so many good saves. And Oblak had very little to do until the very end. I mean, other than their goal, Eibar's expected goals was 0.29 for this game. Atletico dominated. They dominated.
Yeah, exactly. And the goal was so... It made it worse because it was such a
stupid goal.
It was so stupid.
And again, it was Godin right in the middle of it, making another mistake.
Yeah.
I think we have to talk about this. You know, I wrote a column on it last week about Godin trying to prove his legend just one more time. I think he should have been dropped for this game. He would have been. But Lucas had to go to the hospital because of a stomach bug. Of course. But basically, in that column... listeners, if you haven't read it yet, I wrote about how, players get old. Godin might be getting old. It might be an issue of, okay, he hasn't had a rest since the World Cup, and he had a really busy summer. But at the same time, there's some worrying signs here. The errors he made in the first few weeks, and again on Saturday, just kind of reinforces that. That's essentially what I wrote about, just in many more words than that. What happened was there's a cross to switch play to the other side of the box. I think it was maybe Jose Angel on the left wing. He kind of chested down the ball, then kind of sent it back in toward the 6-yard box. Godin and Sergi Enrich were right there. Godin was right there with Sergi Enrich, and he just tried to clear it, but it went off his knee. Godin fell over, and Enrich took a touch and made it 1-0. I mean, just, what do you do? Godin just can't stay on his feet.
And, I mean, if you give a chance away at that, from, 2 yards away from goal, you are going to be punished almost 100% of the time. And that was... Godin has been terrible to start the season. And we know he's better than that, but it's a question of when is he going to rediscover this form? Is he just too old now? So, there's a lot of things up in the air.
I think the defense in general was too old. I mean...
Yeah.
Jose Ma was the only defender under 32 years old on Saturday. That's a problem. Atletico's fullback play was really unimpressive. Juan Fran
offered so little.
Yeah, Juan Fran was about 6 steps behind the pace. Felipe Luis saw a lot of the ball but did nothing with it. He plays better with the headband than without it.
No, I'm not feeling the
burn. Not feeling it, no.
Definitely not.
Not really feeling it. But the fullback play was really unimpressive, and Godin was good for a lot of the game, but he screwed up at the end. And then he hit the crossbar 3 minutes later from a corner.
I mean, it's a crazy game when Diego Godin is getting 3 shots.
Yes.
And getting 2 of them on target.
Yeah, and 2 of them were really good stops by Dimitrovic. The other one was a header just flush off the bar.
Yeah, Ben Abar hit the bar twice as well. I mean, yes. Atlanta's passing was extremely sloppy in this game, and I think that's what was also made it a bit of a more frustrating game. It just felt like no one was really on the same page.
Yeah, you wrote in your report that the play seemed kind of disconnected, fractured at times, and I definitely saw that. Rodri kind of had to hold things together most of this game, and we'll talk about Rodri in a second because I thought he was great. And when Rodri went out with about 20 minutes to go, you kind of saw things get a little disconnected again. Atleti moved to this really wide open 4-4-2 that Abar started to find a little space in, and they didn't really create any chances, but they found the space needed to go ahead 1-0 and nearly win this fixture for the first time. When Rodri went off, you saw things kind of dissolve a bit with Koke and Saul in the middle, Griezmann and Correa effectively the wingers, and Costa with Borja Garces up top. Did you agree with the decision to take off Rodri?
No, I didn't. I think that from what we've seen to the start of the season is that when Koke and Saul play together, sure, going forward that gives you several more options, but on the defensive end, they're often, you know, most of the way up the pitch and have to run all the way back, and they're glad to do it, but the problem is it leaves you wide open. And I think Rodri there is kind of a necessary part of that midfield if you're going to have those two in there. And it was kind of a bizarre setup. I mean, the thing is, and I think I said this in the report, or maybe I didn't, I don't recall, but other than the back four, I quite liked the way this team was set up to start with. Mm. But I don't know. For some reason, the strikers couldn't finish the chances.
It was, to start, it looked like a 4-1-4-1. Rodri kind of as the lone pivot with Koke and Sal in front of him, which is what we have been like dying to see. And Rodri was great. Rodri did pretty much what we came to expect after watching him at Villarreal. He exuded calmness. Recycled possession so well. Recovered the ball with such grace and ease. I think he got a little bit tired about around the hour mark, and that may be why Cholo left him. I noticed him with his head down on one occasion, about 65, 66 minutes, kind of jogging, moving a little slowly with Abar in possession. So maybe that was a reason why Cholo took him off. Whatever the case, Cholo was whistled for doing it. It was a strange... The substitutions were strange. I felt like if you're going to take Rodri off, put on Tomas. I felt like if you're going to take Tomas Lemar off, put on Gelson. This worked out to a degree because Borja ended up getting the equalizer. But I thought it was weird because Rodri was... He really stood out in this game. And a lot of why Atletico were able to play with speed and why Atletico were able to generate some really, really good chances and get the ball to their strikers is because Rodri was there to get the ball moving from the back.
Yeah, I think so. And for a lot of this game, especially when Rodri was in there, we saw Koke sort of out a little bit on the right, sort of switching with Griezmann occasionally. It was just, I think this team still needs a bit of time. I think we may have overestimated the amount of time it would take the amount of time it would take for them to gel completely. But I think we saw a lot of positives from Rodri, definitely.
Yeah, he needs to be in this team every week moving forward. It was weird. It was weird to try to explain why he wasn't in the team before, particularly in that loss to Celta a couple weeks ago. But he was great. And Atletico on most any other day would have put up probably two goals in this fixture, probably. Possibly even more with the chances they generated. They still struggled to get the ball to Costa at times. I think Costa just decided he was going to try to go for goal himself and just kind of disregard his teammates. Had a couple good chances. Dimitrovic made another really good save on him. But a lot of what Atletico were able to do in this game, get the ball to their forwards, get the ball into more advanced positions where their playmakers could theoretically have a better shot at setting something up. A lot of that was because of Rodri. And you got to see Saul position a little bit higher up the pitch as well because Rodri took on those defensive responsibilities, which, of course, I always like.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Saul got to play in a little more advanced role.
Yeah, it lets him off the leash a little bit.
just the expected goals chart is just ridiculous. Atletico would have won this game.
Literally
almost any other day they would have won this game.
Yeah, that's kind of what makes it all the more frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, the Rayo game, they probably shouldn't have won the Rayo game, but they should have won this one. So I guess from that standpoint, it does even out. Unfortunately.
Put us as equalized on the season karma counter.
Yes. Yes.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes.
How many corners did Atletico have? About 15?
Yeah.
Didn't score from any of them?
200 million, it feels like.
Yeah. Didn't score from any of them.
No.
That's an issue.
Yep, and I mean, this is probably, what, this second year we've been talking about this?
Third?
Atleti haven't been great from set pieces.
Fourth year we've been talking about this.
It feels like forever. I mean,
yeah.
Not good, again, from set pieces. But, you know, I mean, Godin did hit the bar, but...
Yeah, Godin hit still, the bar.
That used to be Atleti's get-out-of-jail-free card when they were struggling to score in a match. All right, you get a corner, and then you can make something of it.
He hit the bar once. Sal had a header from another corner in the first half that Dermitrovic, probably his single best save of the day, but was from that Sal header.
Mm.
So, I mean, just Atletico ran into a really inspired goalkeeper, no doubt. But you also have to finish your chances when you have this many of them in succession.
And especially considering the poor form they've been on.
Yes.
So it's frustrating. But at least my guy, my breakout player of the season.
Ah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Borja Garces. Oh, yeah.
And he has arrived.
He has arrived. He played the hero. It was a great goal, wasn't it?
It was fantastic.
It was a great goal. I know.
What I love about Borja Garces is that he gets so much power on his shots. I love that about him.
That's your boy. And from kind of a slight frame, too, he gets a lot of power on those shots. So what happened here was Atletico are scrambling. They're behind 1-0, 93rd minute. Koke sprays the ball out to the right wing for Juan Fran. Correa makes the overlapping run, kind of just chucks it back into the box. Griezmann, I think, tries to shoot it, but it deflects off his boot, and Borja is waiting at the penalty spot to just lash it in.
It was a great finish.
Yeah, Dimitrovic had no chance. It was an outrageously good finish. And it was nothing less than Atletico deserved. Atletico did not deserve to lose this game, but Borja Garces, 19 years old, in his debut, gets the equalizer.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, I think we were probably both surprised when we saw him come off the bench. But, I mean, I think sort of in preseason we kind of saw that he was starting to edge his way into the first team squad with Diego Simeone, I think, sort of starting to trust him a little bit more. And, well, he's shown why.
I mean, he's a really talented player. Like,
he is.
And he worked hard, too. He came out with 20 minutes to go for Rodri and just showed no hesitation, kind of running around, pressing up when needed, chasing down whoever was in possession, and then just kind of camping out near the penalty spot and just waiting for an opportunity. It was a really impressive cameo, and do you think we're going to see more of him? Or do you think this is just kind of a one-time thing with all the injuries Atletico have right now?
Yeah, I wonder about that. I think he may get some game time here and there. I mean, I don't think he'll be a regular by any means, but I think he may get some sub-appearances, maybe late in some of the easier or Champions League games that Atleti are winning, perhaps. And I think he'll definitely get time in the Copa this year. Almost certainly.
Mm.
But I don't think he'll become a regular this season. That would be too crazy even for me to think. But
oh, yeah.
I do hope we keep seeing him.
He's good enough to have some role in this team, I think. Mm-hmm. We saw it starting last season in that friendly against Nigeria before the World Cup when he scored the winning goal, in an absurdly good winning goal.
Yes.
The kid's got talent, and he showed that he is willing to work hard, put in the hard yards. With the options this team has when fully fit, which, again, they haven't been for a month, with the options this team has at full fitness, you don't really see a role for him. He's probably going to go back to the B team, at least for a little while, but I think he's a really talented player with a future. possibly at Atleti? I mean, he's already getting, we already are seeing the headlines. He's the new Torres.
Yeah, exactly. Like the new, as sort of expected.
Yeah, the new pearl of the academy. So he automatically generates those comparisons to El Nino.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he did score in Torres' last Atletico match, that Nigeria game, which was also weird that Torres played in,
yes,
by the way. We didn't really talk about that, but that was a little bit strange. But, yeah, I mean, obviously he's going to get those comparisons, but I think he's a little bit different. He seems to be a little bit more of a penalty box striker than Torres was. I mean, in his early days, Torres was an amazing athlete. Yeah. Could burst through defenses, but Borja seems to be a little bit more of a finisher type.
Regardless of what we see from him moving forward, it was a great moment for him and a big moment for Atletico. They really could not afford to lose this game. They couldn't afford to draw it either, but a draw is better than a loss.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, again, Atletico would have won this game on pretty much any other day, just Dimitrovic played out of his skull. I mean, this, what are you going to do? Atletico had several just great chances that they would have taken on another day if not for Dimitrovic stopping almost all of them.
Yeah, it was just really bad timing to come up against an inspired goalkeeper, yeah, considering the form they've been on.
Yeah, just not so great. So right now, Atletico are seventh in the live table. If Getafe beat Sevilla, which seems unlikely considering it's at Sevilla, Atletico, I think, will fall to eighth through 4 weeks, which is not good. The slow starts, they are a thing. They're bad. They make sense because Atletico are busy pretty much every summer, but you know, you can't start off like this and expect to really have a say in the title. Not with Barcelona and Real Madrid starting as they have. I mean, Deportivo Alavés are third right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So the table.
And I mean, obviously, this league table is going to look a lot different. Yeah, I mean, it's not super useful to look at the league table, I don't think, until around 10 games in.
Yeah.
But even now, it's not looking good. And La Liga especially, you have to win all of your games, really, if you want to compete for the title, or as many of them as you can.
Yeah.
So, not the best start, certainly.
You know who else things are not looking too good for? Is Monaco.
Oh dear, what has happened to them? I don't know.
Well, they are currently 15th in Ligue 1, Rob.
Oh wow.
They have one win from their first five.
That's not good, Monaco.
They drew at Toulouse on Saturday, finished 1-1 there. Radamel Falcao was injured. So who knows if we will see him on Tuesday. It looks like we will, but not until the lineups are announced, we won't know. Anywho.
Oh, the legend Yaya Sanogo played in that game for Toulouse. The legend.
Former Arsenal great Yaya Sanogo.
Legendary striker.
Mm.
Chaos. Chaos in the box.
Anywho. Yes, Monaco,
yes,
are
looking forward to Guatemala.
Monaco are Atletico's next opponents on Tuesday at Stade Louis II. It will be a homecoming for Thomas Lemar, a former Monaco player who Atletico acquired just a few months ago.
Yeah, just before the World Cup.
It's like he never left. Monaco are struggling. They're not in great form. Atletico are getting a little better, but they're still not in great form. What do we see happening here on Tuesday, as Atletico return to the Champions League?
I mean, obviously, it's not going to be an easy game, but if you look at the sort of squad attrition that Monaco's experienced over the last couple of years, especially after they won the title two seasons ago, it's been pretty intense. I mean, obviously, they still have Falcao. But, you know, this is not the same team that romped to that league and a title in the Champions League semifinal. So they have some new players. I mean, Golovin is all right. But
I forgot they signed him.
I think it should be because I think they beat Chelsea to him or something like that. Helps they have a Russian owner, I'm sure. But, you know, it's not a long away trip for Atleti, so I think it's a good place to start.
Nasser Chadli is there now, too.
Oh, God. I forgot about that. Definitely forgot about that. They have some very random players. They also signed Benjamin Hendricks out of nowhere, who's really, really highly rated out of Germany.
Diego Benaglio is their starting goalkeeper.
Oh yeah, that guy. Well, I mean, they're not a bad team, certainly, but
no, this is know. Monaco always have a really young team, but this is a really young team.
Like, I mean, they have so many guys I've never heard of.
Like, this is a really young team. I mean, Falcao is like their second oldest player.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he is their captain. Fair enough.
Yeah,
but if he's not there, then they're fairly blunt up front, because they're probably going to rely on Stefan Jovetic, which is not a good idea. in any situation.
Jovetic, Ronny Lopez is also pretty highly rated, but yeah. he's not a forward, he's a midfielder. Jibril Sidibe, who Atletico were linked with for a time this summer, he is still there. He did not get his move, so he's still at Monaco. Yeah, this is a very different Monaco team from the one that, you know, made the Champions League semifinals 2 years ago. A lot of individual talent, but it's a very different look, a very different feel, and it's very much, it looks like a team that is kind of in progress.
Right, and, you know, ever since they basically bought Falcao and James Rodriguez back in the day, they haven't been spending near as much money as they did then, and sort of going for the ultra young guys that no one knows about. And they have sort of been, you know, they've been producing a lot of talent since that time, so they're clearly quite good at it.
Yeah, their scouting has always been good.
I think it's a decent opening match for Atleti.
Yeah, it's again, not a very far trip, as you said, in terms of distance. And Atletico have won two UEFA Super Cups at Stade Louis II in 2010 and 2012. So it's a stadium with some good memories for some of the older players, Godin, Juanfran, Felipe, Koke as well, Simeone. It's gonna be interesting. I mean, Monaco always have a team that is ready and willing to attack.
Yeah, obviously Jardim is quite a good manager.
Yes, and they have scored 7 goals from their first 5 games in the league. They've also conceded 7 goals from their first 5 Ligue 1 games.
And I think it'll really help Atleti that, you know, this first trip, it's not the toughest matchup in the group, I don't think. That probably will be Dortmund.
At Dortmund, so, yeah. That's going to be the toughest game in this group.
That'll be a tough one, because Monaco doesn't really have an atmosphere at their home stadium. So, and then Club Brugge, you know, you'd think that would be 6 points, but then we thought that of Karabakh.
That's
so
true. Can't assume that anymore.
No,
thanks, Karabakh.
But that first game against Monaco, I think it'll be interesting to see how Atleti are going to approach this Champions League group.
Yeah, I've written this before. I think all three of these teams are teams that Atletico can give the ball to and just soak up pressure against, waiting for opportunities to strike on the counterattack. And that starts here against Monaco. Monaco's average possession in Ligue 1 this season is a shade under 47%. So they usually do not want the ball. We'll see if Atleti give it to them, and we'll see if Atleti dare them to make a move and break down this defense, which should get a boost on Tuesday. Lucas Hernandez should be back. Stefan Savage will be back, we know.
Joy to the world.
We'll see if he starts. Other than that, Santiago Arias, who fractured a rib over international break, doesn't seem like he will be ready in time, but Nikola Kalinic and Vitolo could be in the squad.
Our players seem very fragile this year.
Lots of injuries so far. Like I said earlier, Atletico haven't been fit since the Super Cup, and they blew off Real Madrid's doors in that game. I don't think there's a coincidence there.
Yeah, so it's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But you know, Atletico will hopefully get back to full fitness soon. In the meantime, got to start the Champions League on the right foot. We saw it last year with the draw in Rome, where Atletico had about, by my count, 74 shots on goal and drew 0-0.
Yeah, I mean, I think that game was sort of a bit like the Ibar game, except a little bit more of an extreme.
Yeah.
But I sort of, it's a hope. I'm not sure if it's going to end up being the case, but I certainly hope that Diego Simeone realizes that draws in the Champions League group stage are not very good.
Not great.
They're all right, but you really want to win and win early so you don't have to be stressing out about getting knocked into the Europa League.
They need to start well. They need to win Tuesday. And then, you know, because we saw last year the draw at Rome, the late loss to Chelsea, followed by the draw at Karabakh. You know, two draws from and a loss from the first three group stage games, not going to cut it this time around. And it looks to be a possibly more favorable group for Atletico, especially if they can figure out their defense, which I am optimistic about after watching the game against Eibar yesterday. So we will see what happens. I think it's a good test, a good opportunity for Atletico to kind of get their footing right and really kickstart this season, which Simeone said in an interview last week that the Champions League final is the objective for this season, to no one's great surprise, considering Atletico are hosting that game. And you need to start out that campaign with a win.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they want to commit that as their main goal rather than the league title, that's okay. They just got to do it.
Right, yeah, that's right. Atletico have a league title under Simeone. It's tough to win La Liga if you're not Barcelona or Real Madrid. It's tough to do.
Yeah, I think it's frustrating in a way because we sort of saw Real Madrid going through a bit of a change, losing Ronaldo and getting a new manager in. And then Barcelona just kind of, for the most part, stayed the same, lost a couple guys here and there, but especially Paulinho. But it just hadn't worked out. Barcelona have just been carrying on where they left off from last year.
They're just a really good domestic team. They're just really good. I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. They have been kind of garbage in the Champions League ever since Pep left. Like, except for that one year they won the treble, they've been garbage in the Champions League. They win the Copa del Rey every year because no one really cares about the Copa del Rey. But La Liga is really their bread and butter. They just are the best equipped team to handle the rigors of a 38-game season. With their mix of talent, their mix of depth, their strong coaching, they have all the ingredients. And we thought Atletico would really challenge them this year, and so far it's not the case. Barcelona are just kind of on another level domestically.
Yeah, and I mean, that 14-15 when they won the treble was kind of a crazy season because that was the first of the MSN, and there was just kind of an attacking trio that was on another level that year. So right. Yeah, they haven't been as successful in Champions League in recent years, but man, I mean, it helps have Lionel Messi. That does certainly help your league campaign.
Yeah, it kind of helps anyone.
He's all right.
Yeah, not bad.
So it's frustrating.
Got a scoreline prediction for Tuesday before we get too depressed?
2-1. We'll go for a 2-1-er.
2-1. That's a good one. I'm going to go 2-0.
All right. Well, we're believing.
2-0.
We're believing that our karma will be swinging back in the right direction.
Yes, I'm going 2-0 to Atletico.
Very good. Let's hope for it.
That is on Tuesday at, I think that's a noon kickoff because they changed the kickoff times this year.
Oh, did they?
I think it's like noon instead of 11:45. Yes, it is a noon kickoff, and they have those two early games. The 9:55 a.m. kickoffs in Group B.
Oh, wow.
Everything else is at noon.
That's pretty good, actually. Actually, it was always kind of awkward on the 45-hour mark. That was a bit strange.
Yeah. The 55.
Looking forward to Champions League. You know, it's a special competition.
The 55-hour mark is even stranger, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
And Dortmund are at Club Brugge as well.
Club Brugge, yeah.
So that's the other game.
I'm not expecting a ton from them, but we'll see.
They do score a lot of goals, but that's the other game in Group A. Liverpool PSG tomorrow, Tuesday as well. That'll be exciting.
That should be a really good one. And Valencia Juventus on Wednesday is pretty good as well.
And Valencia, who have been garbage to this point, they get to Juventus. Yeah, that'll be a good test for them. Good luck, Marcelino. You're going to need it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I highly rate Marcelino, but this may be a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, you guys have fun with that.
Yeah.
Against, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and spitting Douglas Costa. Did you see that? Did you see that?
I did.
Wow. Wow.
Spitting Douglas Costa. Oh, he sounds like an 1800s homeless person that rode on a train. Spitting Douglas. He's a bad man.
Oh, that was... Talking about wilding out. talk about just wilding out and having a normal one. It's just disgusting.
Shout out to Syria. Nothing weird or bad ever happens there.
Nah, and he is gone for like the next 3 months now.
You would hope so.
Yikes. Really.
One would hope.
Ugh.
Oh yeah, that was just nasty.
Well, on that note, I think it's time we wrap this thing up.
All right.
Good to get back into the podcast groove. Rob, thank you so much for joining me, as ever.
A pleasure. A pleasure.
Follow the man on Twitter at rwalk03. That's rwalk03. Follow me on Twitter at jbbaren, jbberen. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Cult Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and review if you haven't done so already. It really helps us out and gets more eyes and ears on the program. Finally, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/cultgennarochat. I know I haven't been too active there recently, over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, but some fresh content coming soon. We'll have another bonus pod or two this week, followed by a rumor roundup the next week. patreon.com/cultgennarochat. From as little as $3 a month, you can get access to our bonus pods and all our other goodies. All right, we will be back midweek to discuss Atletico and Monaco. Until then, adios.